Coming up on show 781, James Dyson finally unveils his electric car. The problem is, the program was cancelled last year. Stick around, I'll tell you more. As well, what kind of batteries go inside a supercar Koenigsegg? And how much do they cost? Tesla updating the Model Y and the Model 3 delivery timelines. How Tesla's battery day breakthroughs are expected to come from a tiny Canadian lab, a plug-in Ford Explorer, and a new energy tariff to help roaming EV charging. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Sunday, 17th of May. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Thank you, as always, to MyEV.com for helping me make this show. Couldn't do it without them. If you are in the US, make the most of having MyEV.com, buying or selling or learning about EVs along the way. You can do it all at MyEV.com. So today, thanks to the Sunday Times Rich List, which, if you're not familiar, by the way, is a bit of a tradition in this country. Once a year, the Sunday Times and their team of experts, and you never quite know what people are worth because of, well, various reasons, but they do a really good job of estimating net worths, and it's been one of those things that you sort of is an annual event. And they finally published this year's Sunday Times Rich List, of which we have a new person at the very top of it. Other people who were high up the list have lost their fortunes, a lot of their fortunes recently, and this particular person has had a pretty good year since the last time they surveyed this. Like 3.6 billion increase in net worth. So he's had a good year. However, we're talking about the man behind the company Dyson, James Dyson. It's a privately held company. So with his name above the door, when it goes well, things go well. And when he spends money on things that don't work out, well, then that's his own personal money that he's putting into it. If I'd spent 500 quid on something that was eventually scrapped, I'd be a bit annoyed. You know, £500 a lot of money to me. When you're James Dyson, you can put £500 million into something and decide, that's a bad idea, let's stop doing that. He famously killed off his electric car project last October, and James Dyson's EV project has remained a mystery to many people, with insiders telling Engadget that only a handful of engineers ever saw a working version of it. It was so secretive. In Wiltshire, it was being made. But yesterday, the company chose to show off its scrapped electric car for the first time. Sir James Dyson, featured by the Sunday Times Rich List, talks about how he spent £500 million and in the end decided he wasn't able to make the car at an affordable price, so he scrapped the project. It's a lot of money, but he is now worth £16.2 billion. It's still a lot of money, though, right? According to Engadget.com, reporting on the Times article, the car was codenamed N526. It was a seven-seater, had 600 miles of range. It was using Dyson's solid-state batteries. Of course, they've got a massive R&D facility, and Dyson have been working on batteries for a very long time. As I say, they're a private company. They don't need to share, like other publicly listed companies do have to share what they're working on and guide for the future. It's his company, so he doesn't need to tell people what he's working on, but they do have some incredible people working on battery technology, which was going to fire the EV down the road for 600 miles. It was 2.6 tons. It was all aluminium. It would do 0 to 60 in 4.8 seconds and do 125 miles an hour top speed. It's about 30 miles an hour shy of the Tesla Model X. It had two motors. They put a 200 kilowatt motor on the front and the rear axles. The car has 536 brake horsepower it is producing. But in the end, Sir James Dyson said that after spending £500 million, he put a stop to it. The car was going to have to cost £150,000 to customers for them to break even on it. And he decided he wanted to make a car. It's about Range Rover size, by the way. Seven-seater, quite a low car, very sleek, aerodynamic SUV, seven-seater. He's standing in front of it, and it's definitely not higher than him. It's maybe shoulder height as well. Pretty low, actually, pretty low car. But he wanted to make a car that was going to be popular. He didn't want to make a £150,000 car that was going to be bought by a handful of people. And that was a decision that he decided doesn't want to be a specialist, small, niche EV maker. He wanted to make a car that was going to be driven by a lot of people and bought at an affordable price. But then by the time he made the car that he wanted to make with his own solid-state batteries and the size, it's a big car, really wide, very long, just decided, you know what, this is the car I want to make, but I can't make it at a price that is sensible, so he scrapped it. Now, obviously, they have hundreds of engineers working in their R&D, and the whole joke about, you know, oh, he found out the car sucked. Yeah, brilliant. Ha-ha. They make vacuum cleaners. Obviously, all of that technology is transferable to other products. They're an incredible product design company, and they bring amazing products to market at quite expensive prices. A Dyson vacuum cleaner is not the cheapest. And actually, he and I, in terms of ideology, our political views, he's a staunch Brexiteer. He wants to be out of Europe as quick as he possibly can, and yet doesn't make his products in this country. And he will say how much money he puts into the country as well, though, with the some of the jobs being in this country, but production being shipped overseas. And so he and I see very differently on things like that, but I really admire him for giving this a really good go. And he could have probably sunk, you know, 10 times that and not brought the EV that he wanted to market. And that's his own money and that's his own call. And I saw a lot of criticism online today for him in terms of, you know, oh, he's making up the specs. It was never going to do that. It's impossible to make a car that does 600 miles. And yet when Elon Musk says, oh, the new Roadster is going to do 600 miles or 620, Elon Musk said, from a 200 kilowatt hour battery pack, people fall over themselves to say, oh, what a genius you are. And we can't wait to drive the car. And yet when Dyson says, oh, that was the, you know, this was the target. And everyone on my Twitter today was replying to me saying, oh, fake news, you can't make a car that goes 600 miles. Well, we didn't know how big the battery pack was. So, you know, it could have been a huge battery pack. It was ridiculous to say that. And so, real shame this is cancelled. And it's interesting to finally get to see it. Talking supercars, by the way, very few people in the world will ever get to own a Koenigsegg. But the Koenigsegg Regera combines a petrol engine with an electrical system that gives it supreme supercar power. But what about the batteries that go inside it? Well, they're not exactly the batteries that go inside the EVs that you and I drive. The Koenigsegg Regera's batteries are designed to deliver uncompromising performance. And so much so that Jonas Voss, the director of EV propulsion at the place, has been talking about these. They cost 100 times more than a battery pack than you would find in a road-going EV. Although, of course, you start to look at modern Formula One technology for this kind of stuff. The website Supercar Blog says that Koenigsegg source their batteries from Rimac. Even Matej Rimac doesn't put these particular batteries in the C2 hypercar. There's 6 modules of them. There are 64 cells inside. They're built inside a carbon fiber housing, and then they mount it down the center of the car to keep gravity low and in the middle of the car. The batteries alone can generate 700 horsepower. Of course, in the Koenigsegg, they mate it with a twin-turbo V8 and 3 electric motors, actually. Combined output is 1,500 horsepower, 0 to 400 kilometers an hour. Not a spec that we give very often on this podcast. 0 to 400, less than 20 seconds. Let's talk Tesla. And Tesla has updated the Model Y and the Model 3 timelines for delivery. Now, production is back underway in Fremont. Officially, it starts tomorrow on the 18th of May. Officially, they're allowed to start. They have been already. Everybody knows. Even the people that allow them to start making cars as of tomorrow know that they're making cars in Fremont. There was a bit of saving face going on there, wasn't there? The automaker is now listing 5 to 7 weeks delivery if you order a new Model 3 in the US, of course, says the website Electrek. Before the factory shut down, it was 4 to 8 weeks, and so now it's 5 to 7 for the new Model 3. Model Y, by the way, longer waiting times, about up to about 12 weeks to get a new Model Y. We're still waiting to see what happens to the Model Y 7-seater. We hear these reports online of people claiming that someone from Tesla called them and said, would you like to take delivery of your 7-seat Model Y? that was always going to be next year, according to Tesla and Elon. So we'll wait to see what happens with that. Hopefully everyone that wants to be back at work at the factory is. I've seen some reports. There was one TV news report that somebody sent me on Twitter, which was a protest out from Tesla employees with some banners protesting outside the factory for reopening. That's the only negative real coverage that I've seen. Let's talk about the battery day, which I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, and to do with, it's probably a live stream now, by the way, because you can't get the big public gatherings at the moment. But I had an email from one of my listeners saying, you talk about Jeff Dahn and his research team, but what is that? Okay, yeah, I must admit, I try and, on this podcast, I always try and think about everything that we do, and we try and not patronize those people who have been listening for years and are into EVs, but I'm aware that every day there may well be somebody listening for the very first time. Hey, if this is you, welcome along. Welcome to the party. So I'm always thinking that there could be someone listening who's EV curious and doesn't know too much, just learning at the moment about, they've heard about electric cars. And so, yeah, sorry, I have a couple of times talked about the acquisition that Tesla's made, Hybar and Maxwell and Jeff Dahn's research team. And so let's look into that a little bit more. Well, after conducting battery research for 3M and Medtronic, he signed a research partnership back in 2015. And he signed the agreement from 5 years ago now to work with Tesla. This particular agreement runs until the middle of next year, and Tesla hired his students and graduates and built connections to a small battery testing facility back in 2015 in Halifax. And that was spun out of his lab at Dalhousie, says iPhone Canada website. Well, Tesla's also set up its own battery research lab in Halifax that same year. A former PhD student of Jeff Dahn is a chap called Chris Burns, and he's been helping Tesla build their Halifax facility. Tesla's been funding Jeff Dahn's work in public, and he's talked about some of their accomplishments in both public and private forums over the years, including a presentation in February at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Well, videos of that presentation and at least two others where he discussed his work have been posted on YouTube now, which is what we've talked about on this show, but then they got taken down. His team are now playing a key role in Tesla's plans to introduce a low-cost, long-life, million-mile battery in the Model 3 in China. That is been reported earlier in the week by a Reuters report, which many people thought they were getting two things muddled up, because the Reuters report said a lot of this is going to be announced on Battery Day about the million-mile battery being in China. Actually, many people saying they're two separate things. Reuters got them confused. There is the Standard Range Plus Model 3 in China, which has the new batteries from CATL, a Chinese maker, which is one thing. There's also going to be Tesla saying we're making our own cells in the US, and that is going to be the result of what Jeff Dahn and his research team in Canada have been working on. So let's not confuse those two things. That's a history of how Tesla came to work with him and the 7-year agreement, odd or 6-year agreement with Tesla came about to develop new chemistries, to develop new technologies to enable more stability, cheaper batteries, better performance. And in terms of the million mile battery that gets talked about, it's not the fact that it's anything special about reaching a million miles, but it's to do with battery cycles and how long batteries will last, because a cycle is, well, various definitions, but say for now, from a full battery to an empty battery, up to a full battery. So you're cycling the battery, right? And so that's what that story was all about back in February. Once again, we're looking forward to hearing more from Tesla on their battery day, no longer in May. As of yesterday, we know it will be in June sometime and live streamed. A new car hitting the market in Europe is the Ford Explorer, the all-new Ford Explorer plug-in hybrid. It features a new plug-in powertrain from Ford, which is good because I must admit, you know, Ford haven't necessarily been at front and center of the electrification over the years, but always good to see a car with a plug socket on the side of it. The Explorer is a pretty big SUV, actually. A big, big car, maybe a bit of, maybe not off-roading, but tough terraining. And it's now going to be delivered to customers in Europe. It's a seven-seater. It went on sale late last year, and it's finally getting into customers' hands. It's got a 3-litre EcoBoost petrol engine, but it's got an electric motor because it's a plug-in hybrid. So it's got a 13.6 kilowatt-hour lithium-ion battery, got a 10-speed automatic transmission, all-wheel drive, and all-terrain management system as well. So seven passengers carried in comfort, especially when it's on electric mode only. It can tow because, you know, that's important to a lot of people. It'll do about 40 kilometres on electric power, and it is one of 18 new electrified vehicles that Ford are bringing before the end of next year. So over the next 18 months, 18 new electrified vehicles. I'm very careful to say electrified because that does include soft hybrids as well. Bit of electric technology in there. But we really want to hear about cars with plug sockets, but good on Ford for doing that. Right, a couple more stories. And Octopus Energy here in the UK have launched a new roaming charging service. And what it does is it enables car drivers to access multiple, well, it will enable you to access multiple charging networks with a single account. It's called Electric Juice Network. Can be used by any EV driver, haven't got to be a customer of Octopus, and it provides access at the moment to urban charging points through the Chargy network, but more are going to be following and expanding into Europe, says Fleet World. Well, charging costs for all users get invoiced through a single bill, and that's what you really want, isn't it? A single bill, a single point of contact for charging your EV. Ideally, you do nothing, you just plug your car in, but we're not just there yet. You can use the new app, the Electric Juice app, and take advantage of finding a local charger. We'll keep an eye on how many networks get added to that. Well, Nissan is the final story today on the podcast, and let's talk about their e-Power technology, because here's a question. Is this an EV or is it not? It doesn't have a plug socket on it, so I am doubtful. But according to the regulations, it is an EV because an electric motor drives the wheels. Well, the new Nissan Kicks is a compact SUV, and it is debuting today in Thailand. And at a new event, or an event for the new model in Thailand, Nissan have been talking about their e-Power technology to Automotive World. They say that equipped with e-Power, the electrified powertrain, which was first introduced in Japan, means that Thai buyers can, particularly urban Thai buyers, can now enjoy driving an EV. The wheels are completely driven by the electric motor, but the power comes from a gas engine. You have to put petrol in this thing to make it move. However, the engine is purely operating as a generator. There's nothing connecting the engine to the wheels. Goes through the electric, well, goes through an inverter and the motor as well. It features a new petrol engine as a generator. It features an electric motor. It features a, well, the engine's a 1.2 litre engine, and the motor is powered by a 1.57 kilowatt hour lithium ion battery. That's small, but when you think about it, they don't need to store the energy because the engine's always a generator. So like I said earlier in the podcast today, when we were talking about Tesla's million mile batteries, about cycling the battery, my first concern with this technology is with such a small battery, you're constantly putting energy into it and then using it. It's a tiny 1.57 kilowatt hour battery. Think about how many cycles that's going to go through in its lifetime. I'm not sure that's a million mile battery. Not that I know of. There's no major reports coming out of Japan where this technology is popular to say that these cars are, you know, falling apart. So I'm sure the technology is good, but this is where Nissan put a lot of their energy in terms of EVs, the e-Power. And to their credit, you know what? It does a job. The engine can operate in an efficient way as a generator. I just don't think this qualifies as an EV. Do you? I think it needs to have a plug socket on, really. But good news for tyre buyers with the new Nissan Kicks. Right, question of the week this week. I was asking you about your favourite route planner and charging apps. I thought it'd be really popular, this week, and it hasn't been, which is strange. Rajiv says that in Texas he uses PlugShare, which has good coverage. And you can also filter by what type of charger you're turning up for. Doug Vowles says that he uses a better route planner. You can enter a specific model of EV that you drive. You tailor the trip parameters to include outside temperature, wind and road conditions. And it'll even know elevations as well. That's really clever. And he's also made several trips beyond the range of chargers in the dead of winter. And it's let us know the need to charge overnight. Jeff Murray as well. My wife and I have a 2019 Chevy Bolt. Bought it in October. Done 20,000 miles already, including multiple long-distance trips. Preferred route planner is PlugShare, as it has the most complete database of chargers, at least where he is in Indiana. He also uses a better route planner, since it has a lot of customizations. And I will often take the charge stops that it finds and put them into PlugShare, because he finds that app easier to follow. Check out abetterrouteplanner.com. Had some other responses this week, but those are the ones that I will read out. All right, time for a new question of the week then. So let's see if this one is a little more popular. Should Dyson have continued to make an EV that would go on sale for £150,000 or not? Should we only make realistic EVs? What's wrong with making cars at a high price point? Should Dyson have continued their project if it meant the cars would have cost $150,000 to buy? What do you think? I want to hear from you. I'll read out your answers next Sunday. The email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com, or leave a comment on the YouTube show. Well, thank you so much to 230 patrons of the podcast. Your generosity does keep me going. And my premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Brightsmith Group for clean tech talent, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, and Audi of Cincinnati East. Also, my partners of the show, David Allen, OEM Audio of New Zealand, and evpower.co.nz. Hello to Paul O'Connor. Hi to tryev.com. Gareth Hamer, emobilitynorway.com. Hello to Bob Boothby, who runs Millbrook Cottages and Elopement Wedding Venue. Got his own Tesla chargers there as well. And all of this lockdown is at the... when we get to the other end of it, we're going to do some stuff with Bob and find out. He's getting some storage put in. He's got solar. Looking forward to talking to him some more. ev-resource.com, and Mia Oppelstrup as well, and all of my executive producers. That's you, Alan Robson, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Asir Khalid, Ashley Hill, Bjarne Fuchstack, Brent Kingsford, Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Colin Hennessy, and Cam's EV, Craig Coles, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, Darren Bird, Darren Feach, Darren Sant, and Yorkshire EV Club, Dave Jusen, David Barkman, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, Derek Riley, and the Dublin EV Owners Club, Don McAllister, and ScreencastsOnline.com, Enrico Stefan Schillo, Eru Cuny Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Free Jewel, who's James, Gene Rubin, Gilberto Rosado, Jeff Lowe, Headley Wright, Ian Griffiths, Ian Sear, Ian Watty Watkins, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jerry Allison, Jim Duggan, Jim Morris, John Bailey, John C. Solar, John Lacey from ClickLike Video NZ, and John, who is Beardy McBeardface and Kent EVs. John Nodell, Juan Gonzalez, Ken Morris, Kevin Madison, Carl Mayen, Lars Dallager, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Lohman, Marcel Ward, Mark Bossett, Martin Croft, Dorset Tradesman. Hello to Marty Young, Matt Piscioni, Maz Shah, Michael and Luke Turrell, and Michael Pastrini, Mike Rogers, Mike Winter, Nathan Gore Brown, Neely Roberts from Sussex EVs, Nigel Miles, Northern Explorers, Ohad Aston, Paul Ridings, Paul Stevenson, Perry Simpkins, Pete Glass, Pete Gorton, and Peter and Dee Roberts at Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Pontus Kinblad, Raj Badwell, Rajiv Narayan, Ralph Jensen, Ronnie Schneider, and Rob Cooling at appledriving.co.uk, Rob Hermans, Robert Grace, Robin Tanner, Rupert Mitchell, Sari Kanga Sodja, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas J. Tias, The Plug Seeker, and his EV YouTube channel, Tim Gutteridge and William Langhorne. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.